Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. And that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
I've met a lot of strange people in my travels away from San Francisco. Little did I realize that right here in my own hotel, I would meet the most unusual of them all.
Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Gunsmoke and Have Gun Will Travel. Now, I think where we left off was I was talking about the radio shows that were adult radio shows, which led to the adult television shows for Westerns. And these adult Westerns, the first one was Gunsmoke. Before Gunsmoke, probably the most adult Western I can think of at the time was probably Wild Bill Hickok with Andy Devine as his sidekick. And it certainly wasn't what we would consider an adult Western, but it was, like I say, more adult than, say, Gene Autry's show or anything, or Lone Ranger. So Gunsmoke comes on TV, and it becomes popular. It takes it a good year before it really takes off, and then it becomes the number one show for a number of years, and they start producing all kinds of television Westerns. The next one, the next adult Western, and it premiered, I think, just a little while after or close to the same time as Gunsmoke, was The Life and Legend of Wyatt Earp. And that, I think, right now is over on Amazon where you can watch it, I believe, for free, for part of Prime, I think. And it's a neat Western in that it is also an adult Western for the most part, and at least it's serious. But it follows a storyline that goes from the first episode to the final season. It follows Wyatt Earp as he travels from town to town and ends up in, of course, the OK Corral, and to have the gunfight at the OK Corral and so forth, and then goes on beyond that. So it's actually one of the first kind of, continuing sagas that is worthy of probably binge watching and watching it in a row, all the episodes. So I would highly suggest that to at least get a flavor for that show. Anyway, I just thought I'd cover those two really quick today, and then we'll cover some more next time. But now I hope you're going to enjoy Gunsmoke and Have Gun Will Travel, and we'll see you next time.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by L&M Filters. Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Change to L&M. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. A transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
A lonesome town, Dodge City. A handful of sunburned buildings half lost in the empty prairie. for the few scrawny cottonwood trees along the plaza, and the river and the red clay bluffs to the south. A frontier town like all the others, except for one difference. We're on the railroad. So about once a day, when the train starts whistling off in the east, the folks in Dodge listen and remember that they're part of a bigger world outside. A different world beyond the plains.
Well, just looky there, Mr. Dillon. A brand new record this time, pulling four coaches in a baggage car.
Yeah, they keep getting longer all the time, Father Jesse.
Why, in 8 or 10 years, I bet we'll see 6 and 7 coach trains rolling into Dodge.
It'd be more surprising if they'd ever get them in on time. Yeah, come on. Let's pick up that strong box and take it over to the bank, huh?
Look at there. Dudes by the dozens, oohing and awing around. Just look at them. Dressed fit to kill.
Now, they'll get over it, some of them at least. The rest of them will go back east.
Well, there's one I sure hope don't.
Huh? What? If you want to meet her, why don't you drop into Long Branch Saloon?
She gonna work there? Well, do you know her, Mr. Dillon?
No, but she's got that look.
Oh,
hey, Ed! It's Matt Dillon, open up.
You know, this is what I ought to have been, Mr. Dillon. A baggage clerk.
Oh?
Just one run a week to Kansas City and back and collect your pay.
Yeah, it sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Hey, Ed!
He's probably asleep. Nothing else to do the whole trip.
Yeah, I suppose so. Let me get up there, Chester. Maybe I can see through the window.
See anything?
No, not much. This glass is so dirty that... Chester!
What's the matter?
Go find Doc. I gotta break the latch on this door in a hurry.
Careful now, Chester.
Bear down just a little harder. It's starting to give.
All right, now, watch your hand, Chester.
I'm watching.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Let's get her open.
It's... Oh. That's good. Now, see?
There he is. Laying over there in the corner.
Yeah. Ed?
Well, I guess he won't be answering, Matt. Two bullets, right over the heart. Either one of them would have done the job.
Yeah, but the baggage car was locked. Whoever done it couldn't have got out.
Probably stepped out on the ledge there, slid the door shut behind him. The latch catches by itself.
Oh, Matt.
Yeah, what is it, Doc?
There's another one down at the end of the car.
What? Just a kid. He's not over 10 years old.
And he's been shot. Same as the baggage clerk.
Why, that's Ed's own boy, Billy Barton. Ed must have took him along on this
one. Is he hurt bad, Doc?
No, just grazed his head the way it looks. He'll pull through all right.
Good. Look, I want to talk to the conductor and the train crew. You stay here and give Doc a hand, will you, Chester?
Yes, sir, I will.
Oh, Chester, by the way... That soft job is open now, if you want it.
Matt?
Hello, Kitty.
What happened, Matt? Somebody said the train was held up.
Yeah, somebody got into the baggage car and killed Ed Barton.
Oh.
Shot his son. Took the strong box. Around $20,000, I guess.
And they got away?
Yeah, it looks that way. Train crew figures it must have happened near the Walnut Creek crossing. Whoever did it dropped off when the train slowed down for the trestle there.
Well, what about the boy, Billy?
Oh, he'll live. Doc's patching him up now.
Poor little kid. Ed was all he had, and now he's left with nobody.
Yeah, it's too bad.
It's going to be rough on Laura, too. She and Ed were planning to be married.
That's what I heard. So I figured I better stop by and tell her.
Well, maybe she can go back to Taggart, if he's still around. She left him when she and Ed started going together. She's not one to be without a man.
Marshal.
Make it gentle, Matt.
There's nothing gentle about death, Kitty.
Marshal, nobody will tell me anything. What's happened? Ed's been hurt, hasn't he?
Yes, I'm afraid he has, Laura.
I knew that's what it was. Is it bad?
Couldn't be any worse.
No. No.
I'm sorry, Laura. He's dead.
No, Marshal. No.
Oh. Kitty, will you take care of her? I gotta go see if the boy's able to talk yet.
Don't worry about her, Matt. She'll be all right. Just get whoever did it, that's all. Don't let him get away with it.
Well, I'm hoping the boy can help me in some way. As it is, I got nothing to go on. Nothing at all.
Now, son, I got you all fixed up. Oh, now you're going to be all right. There's nothing to worry about. Well, I bet you've been hurt worse just from bumping your head.
Oh, it ain't so hurting, Doc.
I know, son. Make it sure as you can, Matt. He's pretty broke up about it.
Yeah, all right, Doc. Well, Billy, you, feel like talking?
I'm all right.
What happened, Billy?
Well, we was maybe 3 or 4 miles the other side of Walnut Creek, and somebody knocked on the door of the car. The one that goes back toward the coaches. When Dad opened it, this man came in with a gun.
Anybody you know? You ever seen him before?
No, he had a handkerchief over his face.
Uh-huh. But was there anything special about him? His shape, size, or clothes, maybe?
No, sir. Nothing I can remember. I don't know who he was, Marshal, but I know I hate him.
Matt, that's enough. Billy, what happened then when he came in with the gun?
Well, he pointed at my dad and said he'd shoot him if he made a move. Dad grabbed for the shotgun on the wall. The man fired 2 times and Dad fell. I started toward him, and the man fired again. That's all I remember.
Ah, I see. You don't figure that you'd know this man if you saw him again, huh?
No, I don't guess so. Not unless he talked.
What?
I'd know his voice, all right. Even if he's trying to fool me.
Well, why? Well, what was special about it?
Well, I don't know exactly. It was kind of weak-like or something. It's hard to explain. But I'll know it any time I hear it.
Well, we'll try to make sure you do hear it, Billy. Hey, you take it easy now. You get that head all healed up, huh?
I will.
Okay. Chester.
Yes, sir?
Fix up one of the cells over at the jail, huh? I want to get the kid moved over there right away.
Oh, why so, Mr. Dillon?
But now the whole town knows Billy's alive. He's the only witness who can identify the killer. And the killer knows it.
Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red letter day, change to L&M today.
L&M's got everything.
Superior taste.
And superior filter.
Get L&M today.
This is it. L&M, superior taste and filter. Superior taste from tobaccos especially selected for filter smoking. Tobaccos that are richer, tastier, light and mild. And L&M's superior filter is white, pure white. Truly the miracle tip, because when it's added to L&M tobaccos, it actually improves your enjoyment of this great cigarette. Next time you buy cigarettes, look for the big red letters L&M. Smoke L&M filters, America's best filter tip cigarette.
L&M's got everything. Get L&M today.
So Billy Barton moved into a cell in the Dodge City jail. And Chester stayed with him most of the time to keep him company and to keep him alive. Meanwhile, I combed the town from one end to the other, brought in every gunslinger, saddle bum, and drifter I thought might fit the bill.
Get your hands up, stand still, don't make a move.
Well, what do you think, Billy? Does that sound anything like him?
No, sir. I mean, maybe it's kind of like him. But he's not the one, Marshal.
Yeah. All right, Chester, take him out.
Yes, sir. Come on,
Clyde. Oh, and bring in Hawkley, will you?
All right, Mr. Dillon.
See, Billy, it takes time, but we'll get him sooner or later.
This is a preposterous outrage, Marshal. This is an unmitigated insult. Man of my character and integrity to be dragged in here...
You're a sniveling card sharp, and you've been dragged into half the jails west of the Mississippi.
Marshal, I beg your pardon.
Just keep talking, Pegasus.
Well, it's true. Of course, one or two occasions in the past I was accused falsely, basely, unjustly, with deliberate malice. Accused of certain more or less criminal activities. Which it goes without saying, I was entirely innocent and blameless.
It ain't him, Marshal.
Regardless.
His voice ain't nothing like it.
Now, that's too bad. I've been trying to nail him on something for the last year.
Libel proceedings.
All right, Pegasus. You can shut up now.
Well, I've only begun.
I said that's enough. Throw him out, Chester, then bring in the next one.
How long am I going to have to stay here, Chester?
Well, that's kindly hard to say, Billy.
Oh, it must have been over a week already.
Well, yeah, something like that, I guess. How about a nice game of checkers?
Oh, I'm tired of checkers.
Well, casino, then. That's a good, interesting game.
I don't want. I want to get out of here.
Well, now, we got to give that head of yours time to heal up proper.
Oh, that ain't the reason. I know why you and the marshal are keeping me here.
Well, it's just because we're...
Yeah, you think that man on the train's going to try and kill me. That's how come you're doing it.
Now, whatever could give you an idea like that?
You ain't going to find him. He wouldn't stay around here. He's halfway to St. Louis by now.
Well, now, Billy, you just can never tell why that fellow might be... Yeah. Sit tight, Billy.
Yes, sir.
Who is it? Who's there?
Is that you, Chester?
Oh... Miss Laura, hey, just a minute. Sorry to keep you waiting, Miss Laura.
Well, that's all right. Well, how are you, Billy?
All right, I guess.
Well, do you suppose I could interest a couple of hungry men in some home-cooked food?
Oh, yes, ma'am, you sure could. Here, let me take that basket. Oh, look at that. Why, that's better than last year's church social.
How's your head, Billy?
All right, I guess.
Well, I've got something here that's going to make it better in a hurry.
Oh, what's that?
Slice of rum cake. One of the girls I work with had it sent all the way from New York, and I talked her out of a piece of it. Just for you.
Well, now, what do you say for that, Billy?
Thank you.
Ah, you're welcome, Billy.
You'd better sit right down here and help us eat up some of this good food, Miss Laura.
Well, I'd like to, Chester, but... I got to change and get on over to the Long Branch. My work day's just starting, you know.
Well, we sure do appreciate this.
Well, I'll see you later. Billy, I know it's sort of understood that you're going to go live with Miss Austie over at the boarding house when you leave here, but... Well, I've always wanted a little boy. One all my own, and I'd... Well, I'd kind of like for it to be you.
Well?
Well, you don't have to answer now, but think it over, Billy.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, good night, you two.
Good night, Miss Laura. Well, now, what do you think about that?
It's all right, I guess.
All right? Well, I think it's just fine. Billy, let me get a knife from under my mattress, and we'll try out these vittles of yours.
Have a drink with me, Matt?
No, not right now. Thanks, Kitty. Oh.
It's Ed Barton's murder. Still bothering you, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, you can't win every hand.
No, but this one's different, Kitty. Ed was killed in cold blood. And Billy, a kid of that age, shot down and left to die. Somebody's gonna pay for it, Kitty.
Well, you could be following a cold trail, Matt. Might have been a drifter, someone who never even came near Dodge City.
No, I don't think so. For one reason. Only three people were ever told when those money shipments were being made. Me and Ed and Mr. Botkin over at the bank. And that killer knew exactly which trip to hit. Now, it was somebody from this town. Had to be.
Well, it sounds that way, all right.
The killer's here in Dodge and the money's here. And sooner or later, I'm going to find them both.
Well, I hope it's sooner, Matt. You're beginning to look like a scarecrow.
I'll make out. How's Laura getting along?
Oh, not too bad, I guess. She's kept it to herself, mostly. Hasn't talked about it.
Might be better if she wouldn't.
I suppose. I've heard that she started hanging around with Taggart again, though.
Taggart?
Uh-huh.
I thought he went to Kansas City.
Well, he did a couple of weeks ago. I guess he's back again. Anyway, one of the bartenders claims he saw him night before last over in the south side, and of course that's where Laura lives.
Taggart, huh?
She's even started talking like him again the last few days. She's a regular parrot. You know that voice of his? Soft and sort of husky-like.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Thanks, Kitty.
For what?
I'll see you later. Chester, come on, open up.
All right, I'm coming, Mr. Dillon.
Well, it sure is good to see a face from the outside world, Mr. Dillon.
Is Billy all right?
Well, sure he is. Why wouldn't he be all... What's happened?
I think I know who did it. Well, how you making out, Billy?
How much longer have I got to stay here, Marshal?
Well, I think it's just about over now. Say, where'd all this come from?
Miss Laura fetched it. Oh, we had ourselves a real feed. At least I did. Billy wasn't very hungry. He didn't even eat the special slice of rum cake she brought for him.
Special, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do with it, Billy?
Oh, I'm sorry, Marshal, but I didn't want it. I give it to that old hound dog that's been hanging around.
Oh, I see. Chester, I wonder if you'd step out back here for a second.
All right, Mr. Young.
We'll be right back, Billy.
Yes, sir.
Chester, go find Clint Murphy and have him come back here and keep an eye on Billy for the next hour.
Well, ain't no need for Clint. I'll be here, Mr.
No, you won't. We're going to pick up a killer. I can't take any more chances.
What do you mean?
The dog. The one Billy gave his special cake to. It's lying out there by the edge of the street. It's been poisoned.
Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red letter day, change to L&M today.
L&M's got everything.
Superior taste.
And superior filter.
Get L&M today.
This is it. L&M, superior taste and filter. Superior taste from tobaccos especially selected for filter smoking. Tobaccos that are richer, tastier, light and mild. And L&M's superior filter is white, pure white. Truly the miracle tip, because when it's added to L&M tobaccos, it actually improves your enjoyment of this great cigarette. Next time you buy cigarettes, look for the big red letters L&M. Smoke L&M filters, America's best filter tip cigarette.
L&M's got everything. Get L&M today.
No matter how many times you've done it before, the same thing always happens. Every time you start out to bring in a killer, you know what's waiting for you. And the muscles under your belt knot up, and your heart starts to pound. But after a few minutes, you go cold and loosen up, and then it's all right. You stop thinking then. Stop feeling anything. You just go out and do the job.
Nice night.
Kindly peaceful like.
Yeah.
I swear I don't know, Mr. Dillon. It just makes you wonder. What is it gets into people?
I got no answer for you, Chester.
That's her place there, the second one down.
Yeah, I know.
Do you think he'll be there?
I think he'll be there. All right, stay clear, Chester. Watch yourself.
Yes, sir, I will. She was just using Ed Barton so she could find out the date of the shipment.
That's right.
I can't understand.
Get out, Chester.
There he is, there by the porch, Mr. Dillon.
Come on, over here by the back of the tree.
He ain't got much cover there. We must have caught him unexpected.
He won't stay there. He'll make a run for it. We'll wait him out.
I don't know, Mr. Dillon. It don't look like he's... There he goes.
Drop the gun, Taggart. You're under arrest. Your last chance, Taggart! All right, come on, Chester.
I guess that's the end of it.
No. Not yet.
What?
You wait here.
Yes, sir.
You killed him, didn't you, Marshal?
Put that gun down, Laura.
The only man in this world I ever cared about. And you killed him.
You'd never stop me with one shot, and you know it. I'd still have time to draw and kill you.
You're not the man to draw a gun on a woman.
I never have before. But a little while ago, I saw a dog lying dead in the street. And if you'd have had your way, it'd have been a kid instead. So you better put that gun down and take your chances with a jury. Because you got no chance with me. You're under arrest.
It's that kid. That's what beat us. The minute I heard he was alive, I knew it was starting to go wrong.
It started long before that, Laura.
What do you mean? When?
The day you were born.
Now our star, William Conrad.
I'm telling you, the day you change to L&M, well, that's the day. Your big red letter day. No filter stacks up with L&M's pure white miracle tip. And I know you'll go for L&M's taste, superior taste you get from L&M's superior tobaccos. Richer, tastier tobaccos. Next time, look for those big red letters on the L&M pack.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The special music for Gunsmoke was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Ray Kemper. Featured in the cast were Virginia Christine, Richard Beals, and Lawrence Dobkin. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty.
Smoking with a smile with Chesterfield. Smoother, cooler, milder Chesterfield. Put a smile in your smoking, just give them a try.
Chesterfield's best for you,
they satisfy.
If you want tomorrow's better cigarette today, next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember, only Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray. You'll notice how fresh and good Chesterfield's made with Accuray taste, how smooth they are, and how they satisfy. So buy Chesterfield today. Smoother, cooler, best for you. Watch an entirely different Gunsmoke show tonight on your local CBS television station. Remember, Gunsmoke on TV tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And be sure and listen to Gunsmoke again on radio next week, transcribed for L&M Filters.
I was beginning to think that you were no longer a boy, that you were now a man. I was wrong. You're acting like a stupid child.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of the man called Paladin.
Yes?
Oh, Mr. Paladin?
Hello, A-boy. Come on in.
You want me to take tray and glasses downstairs now?
Yes, thank you.
You have long talk with man up here this afternoon.
Yes, he's an old friend of mine, Colonel Amos R. Leland, United States Army, now retired.
Oh, he, sir?
And the colonel's father was General Amos R. Leland, United States Army, now deceased. Perhaps you remember him?
Oh, General Amos R. Leland.
Yeah.
No, sir.
As a matter of fact, I guess there's been an Amos R. Leland carrying a high rank in the United States Army since the United States had an army.
Amos R. Leland seems to be in rut.
Well, it looks like the present generation is going to put a stop to it. Amos Jr. is a second lieutenant, and he doesn't seem very enthusiastic about it.
Well, Amos Jr. don't like army, eh?
No, the colonel has heard indirectly that the boy is going to resign his commission.
Oh, resign?
Mm-hmm. He wants me to check on him.
Oh, you go snoopy for Colonel, Mr. Paladin?
Well, I wouldn't put it that way, hey, boy. I know young Leland. He's a fine boy. If he has some problem, maybe I can help him.
Seem to me, maybe Amos Jr. just don't like Army.
That's quite possible, hey boy.
Constipation can be a problem for anyone, even doctors. And when constipation occurs, it's interesting to see just what doctors consider important about a laxative they might use or recommend. Well, a majority of the doctors we heard from had this to say.
A laxative should be effective, gentle, close to natural acting. A medicine that can be used with complete confidence.
Now, X-Lax has been popular with many doctors and millions of people over the years because chocolated X-Lax is effective. Overnight, it helps you toward your normal regularity. X-Lax is so gentle, so close to natural acting, there's no upset. That's why many doctors and millions of people use X-Lax with complete confidence. X-Lax, the laxative that helps you toward your normal regularity, gently. Overnight.
It was late in the day when I reached Tucson. I checked into a hotel and early the next morning rode out to Fort Bleecker, where young Leland had been transferred after a brief tour of duty with the War Department in Washington. When I reached the stockade gates, I dismounted and crossed the dusty parade ground of the low, squat administration building to inquire where I might find the lieutenant. I was directed to his room in the BOQ, the bachelor officer's quarters.
Come in. But, Paladin.
Hello, Amos. Good to see you.
Paladin, what a surprise. What brings you to this godforsaken place?
You?
Well, sit down.
Thank you. Amos. I see no reason to beat about the bush. Your father asked me to look in on you.
Got wind of my resignation. Poor Dad. I'm afraid I'm quite a disappointment to him, Paladin.
Well, he's disturbed about you, and I'll admit that I'm puzzled. As I recall, Amos, you graduated from the academy with honors. What happened?
Very simple. When I was in Washington, the job I had gave me access to certain files. Going through them one day, I uncovered an irregularity that I felt merited the attention of my superior officers.
So you brought it to their attention?
Of course.
Did they act on it?
Immediately. Here I am, as far away from the department as I can get.
Amos, when you were in Washington, was it part of your job to go through the files?
No.
Oh, I see. You were meddling.
I don't call it that.
You were prying into something that didn't concern you.
I discovered a gross blunder. I think it concerns me and every American.
Did it serve any of us Americans to bring the blunder to light? Did any of us benefit from it?
In my opinion, the bumbling of the Army should be exposed at every opportunity. So I have to resign.
Well, I think you've come to a wise decision, Amos. The Army apparently is no longer the place for you.
I agree. But I hope they don't wait too long to accept my resignation. After Fort Bleecker, I don't know where they can send me except to the firing squad.
Have you been peeking in the files again?
Oh, not just the files. I've been snooping around the whole territory. And this time I really have something.
Like what?
Like this setup smells to high heaven.
Now, couldn't you have been a little hasty in drawing your conclusions? You've been here how long now?
Long enough to unearth some startling facts about the way things are run out here. And this time, I'm not going to trust my information to go through channels. I'm going straight to the Great White Father.
The President?
Yes. I can't act as an officer in the United States Army, but I can act as a private citizen.
Well, Amos, I must remember you're no longer that boy I used to know. You're a man. It's your life.
Yes. The only one I've got. And right now, I'm hoping I'll be able to hang on to it for a while.
What do you mean by that?
I'm skating on awfully thin ice, Paladin. My plan must not be discovered.
Good evening, Pedro.
Oh, Mr. Paladin, I think you go already back to San Francisco.
No, I decided to stay a while. A beer, please.
Si, Señor Paladin.
Boy, hot night, isn't it?
Calor bárbaro. There you are.
Oh, thank you.
Senor Paladin?
Yeah.
You are a friend of the Lieutenant Amos Leland?
Yes, I am. I saw him yesterday.
I am also his friend. He was in here today look for you.
He was here? In Tucson?
Si.
Have you any idea where I can find him?
Maybe I would think at La Casa Delgado.
Where's that?
It's a little hotel here in Old Town, down the street, around the corner. You find him, Senor Paladin. My friend Amos Leland seemed to have big worry.
Thanks, Pedro.
Who is it?
Amos, it's Paladin. Amos, hey, what's the idea? Put that gun away.
Come in. Come in and close the door and lock it.
Sure. There.
You weren't followed, were you? There's no one with you.
No. What's the matter with you?
Sorry, I guess I'm just plain scared.
Pedro at the cantina said you were looking for me.
Yes, I wanted to talk to you.
All right, let's talk.
Well, there isn't time now. Every second counts. I've been waiting till dark. Now I've got to move fast.
Where are you going?
I got to hide out for a while.
Amos, has the Army's acceptance of your resignation come through?
No, not yet.
Then you're deserting.
Well, I guess you can call it that. I think of it as saving my neck. Somebody's out to kill me, Paladin.
You're somebody whose toes you might have stepped on with your snooping?
I suppose so. I'm not sure who could have found out, but I'm being followed. Somebody took a shot at me last night. I'm scared and I'm running out.
Well, you're going to get yourself in a real jam this time, Amos.
You let me worry about that. Oh, but wait. Paladin, here. You take this map.
Map? What for?
It's the information I told you about. I have the documented proof of my findings. It's all in a chest buried in a safe place. Now, you keep the map.
Yeah, well, what do I do with it?
Well, it'll be safer with you, but don't do anything until you hear from me. I'll get in touch with you somehow.
Don't do it this way, Amos. If you have information that you honestly feel should reach the president, let me help you see that he gets it. But go back to the fort. Don't desert.
Paladin, it's too late for that. It's too late for anything except just what I'm doing.
Amos, yesterday I said you were no longer a boy, that you were now a man. I was wrong. You're acting like a stupid child.
I know what I'm doing.
You don't. And I'm not going to let you make a fool of yourself. Now, come on.
Now, don't try.
You're going
don't
back
try to, stop
to
me,
the fort
Paladin.
Now.
No, I'm not.
Stupid kid. Amos. Hey. Amos. Hey, Amos. Wait. Amos. 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 Amos, who did it? Who shot you? I'll track him down, Amos. Could you see who it was?
No. Too dark.
Let's get you to a doctor.
No. No. Paladin?
Yes?
The map.
The map? Yes.
Place of singing water. Talika.
Amos? Amos. Major Gerson, my name is Paladin.
Oh, yes. Sit down. You were with Lieutenant Leland last night when he... Most unfortunate thing.
Yes, it was. Major... Early this morning, I followed the tracks of the horse that rode away from the scene. I finally lost the trail about, 4 miles south, but this was an unshod horse, an Indian pony.
Strange. Doesn't follow the pattern. That's not the way an Indian kills.
No, I don't think it was an Indian.
You have any suspicions?
No, not really. Major, what do you know about the lieutenant's off-duty life while he was here at the fort?
Well, not much. He was a strange one. Didn't mingle. Kept to himself. Always seemed busy poking around alone.
Do you know what he was doing?
No.
He was gathering evidence of incompetence and bungling in the Army to present to the chief executive.
What?
That's right. It was a sort of crusade.
Yeah. No wonder he was so busy. Lord knows he could find enough of it around here.
Major, it's a sad thing to see a man die for a cause he believed in.
Paladin, Lieutenant Leland was young. He was impatient. He allowed himself to forget his lessons on military strategy. That sometimes it's necessary to take other than the shortest route to achieve an objective. He had yet to find out that battles are not won easily, nor without some margin for error.
I think he died for a cause he knew was right.
Just what are you getting at, Paladin?
What right have we to be tolerant of corrupt practices? Or to be intolerant of youthful impatience? Maybe a little more poking around and meddling is what we need.
I repeat, just what are you getting at?
Amos Leland was murdered, Major. Because in his poking around, he uncovered something pretty hot. He compiled documents of his findings and... Major, it's only fair to tell you that I'm going to try to locate them. And if I do, I feel obligated to carry out the boys' plan and see that they're placed in the hands of the president.
Well, I can't stop you, Paladin. But before you get too involved, think it over.
Ah. Hey, Pedro.
Si?
Does the place of singing water mean anything to you?
Si, senor.
What?
It is most beautiful spot on all Apache reservation.
But does Talika mean anything to you?
Si. Talika is most beautiful girl on all Apache reservation. She's daughter of great chief. Only now it is so sad.
Sad?
Now Talika will cut her pretty hair and make dirty with soot her pretty face and wear the ugly dress.
Why is that?
For the great sorrow. It is the Apache way. She will mourn her husband, our good friend, Lieutenant Leland.
Her husband? Amos was married to an Indian girl.
Talika was his wife in Apache marriage ceremony. Only Apaches know this, and I know it, and now you know it.
Pedro, wait a minute. Here. Yeah, this map here. Does this make any sense to you?
Oh, but of course. This mark, this is tree that leans, and here is Cradle Rock. This map, this is place of singing water.
I want to go there, Pedro. Will you show me the way?
Seguro.
Now, you're sure this is the right spot?
The map says.
Oh, that wiki up there, what's that?
That is wiki up of Amos Leland and his wife Talika.
Ah. They really made a home together. Huh?
Apache home.
Well, thanks, Pedro. You might as well go back now. I'll see you later.
You dig, Senor Paladin. You dig, you find what you look for. Adios y buena suerte.
Yes, goodbye, Pedro. Thank you.
It is not much deeper.
What?
It is not much deeper, and a bit this way.
Oh. Oh, well,
I not mean to startle you. Please forgive me. I am Talika.
Talika? Oh, you are beautiful. Talika, my name is Paladin.
Paladin? Oh, yes. You are friend to Amos Leland. Your spade, Mr. Paladin. This way now. Dig here.
Oh. All right.
There.
Yeah.
You see?
Ah.
The corner of wooden box.
Uh-huh.
That is what you want.
Well.
Is it not?
Yeah, it must be. Oh. Have I your permission?
Yes, Mr. Paladin. Take it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There. You seem to know about this box, Talika.
Yes, I do.
Do you know what's in it?
Yes. Bitterness.
Bitterness? What are you trying to tell me, Talika?
This. It is not in every man to be warrior, Mr. Paladin.
No.
But if it is not in man to be warrior, this man will say, let others be warriors. I will do what is for me to do. He will not hold bitterness in his heart and abuse those who are warriors.
What you're saying is that Amos became bitter toward the whole army because he would never make a decent soldier, is that it?
Yes. It is not easy for a man to have knowledge that he must fail when he is expected to prove himself as one of a line of great fighting men. But my husband did not look deep within himself to know this. I knew it, for I loved him very much.
Well, I thought it was something I could do for Amos to take the information in this box to the president as he had planned to do.
Mr. Paladin, the Great White Father is welcome to it, but it will burden him. A box filled with hate and longing and anger. But take it. I have now to do what I must do.
What's that, Talika?
You are not stranger to our country, Mr. Paladin. You know Apache custom for the dead?
To burn all the personal belongings, yes.
There is not much. I had only part of his life. The wiki-up, the buckskins he wore here, the bow my brother made him, things from our home.
Talika, this belongs with the rest of his things.
The box?
Yes. Take it. Burn it, too.
Thank you. It is right.
I'm sure it is. Still, Amos died for what is in that box. No matter what prompted it, he was a martyr to a cause.
This will disturb you always, will it not, Mr. Paladin?
I'm afraid so.
It must not. Did you know that Amos Leland was soon to resign from the army?
Yes.
Did you know that his plans were to return to the east coast of the country and marry a girl to whom he has long been betrothed?
No. I didn't know that.
Do not be disturbed, Mr. Paladin. Amos Leland did not die a martyr to a cause. He died because he betrayed an Indian girl.
Talika?
Yes. I killed him.
Mr. Paladin, you please move so Missy Wong can mop in that corner?
Oh, sure. Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Wong. I guess my mind was some other place.
Mr. Paladin, seem like since you come back from trip, your mind some other place. That's the time.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
That's right.
Well, it was a disturbing trip, Miss Wong.
Hey, boy, say you go to soup.
Snoop. I guess you could call it that.
Hey, boy, say you go to see if boy have problem. Boy have problem, Mr. Paladin?
Yes, he did.
Oh.
But there wasn't much I could do about it. His real problem was deep in the recesses of his mind, and he wasn't even aware of it.
Oh, my. Poor people get all mixed up.
Laura, Mrs. James, and I both say you're the best housekeeper we know.
You wouldn't say that today. I'm getting ready for the painters. Lately, I've had headaches and muscular aches and pains. Can't do half I should.
Don't just put up with discomfort like that. For relief, try Doane's Pills.
Good advice. That's Doane's Pills, an analgesic and mild diuretic to the kidneys.
Nagging backache, also headache, dizziness, and muscular aches and pains, may come on with overexertion, emotional upsets, or everyday stress and strain. Doane's pain-relieving action is often the answer, and they also offer mild diuretic action through the kidneys. So if nagging backache is making you feel worn out, tired, and miserable, with restless, sleepless nights, don't wait. Try Doane's Pills, used successfully by millions for over 60 years. See if they don't bring you the same welcome relief. Get Doane's Pills today. To save money, buy Doane's Big Economy Size.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Ann Dowd. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Don Diamond, Ken Lynch, and Lillian Baeff. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel. Thank you.